Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
Celebrity alert, everybody.
What?
You know him from co-writing and starring in Shaun of the Dead in 2004. Also known for Hot Fuzz and The World's End. And coming up, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Everybody say hello to Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Hey, Simon.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Simon, this is quite interesting. You had a very famous quote after the success of Shaun of the Dead where you said, "It's not like I'm going to run off and do Mission Impossible."
Ha!
I know, right? What a hypocrite.
Were you just putting it in the universe, or did you really not think that there was any chance of that happening?
Well, I wasn't. I actually said Mission Impossible 3 specifically because I sort of picked a blockbuster out of the air, and there wasn't a Mission Impossible 3 at that time, nor was there any plans to be, and it was kind of like, you know, it was like me saying, oh, I'm not going to be in Jaws 19. And suddenly JJ called me out of the blue, having seen Shaun of the Dead, and said, hey, do you want to be in Mission Impossible 3? Yeah, I do. So I was very happily a raving hypocrite at that point.
So you are going to be in Jaws 19 as well?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, he's putting it out there.
I'm hoping. I've just put that out there. If my history is anything to go by, then yes.
Wouldn't that be great if that actually did happen?
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Right?
Somebody create all the Jaws films. Simon, what's this Mission Impossible all about, if you could give us a little synopsis?
Short synopsis.
Yeah.
Well, it's about the IMF team, headed up by Tom as Ethan Hunt, come to blows with a sort of shadow organization of agents who have become sort of disillusioned with having to try and save the world and decided to start an organization to basically bring about its downfall. And so it's a match, a very even match between the goodies and the baddies. And it takes us across the world through Vienna and Morocco and London. And in the great tradition of Mission Impossible features some extremely exciting action and some brilliant character stuff as well. You know, you can have a huge amount of action in a movie, but it doesn't mean a thing if you don't care about the people that it's happening to.
Exactly.
So we were at pains to create that, you know.
Everybody's talking about the airplane
stunt. Yes.
The stunt, I guess, is what they're calling it.
This is the one that they're using in commercial, Simon, and it's Tom Cruise strapped to this huge airplane, and it's taking off, and we're all sitting there going, yeah, like,
no
holy
way,
crap.
No way. Everybody's saying the same thing, but you're saying yes way. Tom really did that.
I am saying yes way. Even though I didn't even know that was an expression, I am saying yes way. That was Tom Cruise.
Stuff.
Yeah, he's at great pains to kind of give an authentic experience. It means something to him to actually do this stuff because he knows that when the audience is sat there watching Ethan Hunt hanging off the side of that plane, they're also thinking, oh my God, Tom Cruise did that, you know?
Right.
I just really can't believe.
It gives an extra level of enjoyment. When you watch a film which is a lot of CG, you can feel a little flat afterwards because you know that they didn't really do that and that wasn't really them.
Right.
But this is him, you know, and it's kind of amazing.
I just can't believe the studio lets him do it. I mean, he's such a value. I mean, without him, there is no Mission Impossible.
Right.
I know, but I think you don't say no to Tom Cruise.
Right.
That's a fact.
Do you step up?
Yeah. Does he ever, did he pressure you on set? Like, you should do this stuff,
man. Yeah, you gotta do something.
No, he's not. You know what? He's so funny because he's like the most daring actor in terms of what he does, but he'll come on set when I'm doing a fight scene and he gets all worried and he can't watch the monitor because he thinks I'm going to get hit. He's actually, you know, he really cares about the production and about everybody. When we did a car chase in Morocco and we had to do a sequence where he drove the car down a set of steps,
uh-huh,
which is insane, but we had to do this really sharp turn into the steps and there was a chance that the car would roll down the stairs. So every time before we started, he'd say, right, you belt it up. No, don't put your hand outside. If you crash, do this motion. He'd do a little safety thing. And it was because he doesn't leave anything to chance. People think Tom Cruise, yeah, he's nuts. He's the opposite of nuts. He's the most diligent and smart guy when it comes to that stuff.
Well, Simon, is there some stunt that you personally did that you're like, I didn't use a stuntman. You need to watch for this scene because it's all me.
Yeah.
There's a moment in the car chase when the car flips over and we were on a special rig where we were inside the car, which was attached to a spinning device, and it just spun us around like for a minute. We're doing somersaults in this car so that all the glass, all the zero G, you could see the glass lift in the air and our hair go up. We did that about twice, and it was like being on the most crazy fairground ride ever. And Chris McCoy, the director, actually decided to just leave it running for 30 seconds without telling us. So there's a scene, there's an outtake somewhere where Tom and I are screaming and doing the scene and then eventually realize that we're being had and we both give the finger to the camera. there's a zero-G finger of me and Tom's.
Yeah.
We're chatting with Simon Pegg. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation comes out Friday.
Oh, boy.
You're the godfather of Little Apple. Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow's little...
You check Wikipedia before the interview. How sweet!
True. Isn't that what we all do? Isn't that how we do it now?
Is that not true?
Yes, it is true, yes.
You can go in and change Wikipedia to be anything you want.
Oh, I know. Anybody can. I'm having a war with somebody on the IMDb about my height at the moment.
Oh, really?
What are we arguing, Simon?
Height is great. How tall are you?
Well, I'm a very comfortable 5 foot 10 and a half, but it kept going back to 5 foot 9. I think it's probably my wife.
Let's just round it up to 5'11", Simon.
Everyone rounds up.
He's proud of every half inch.
But at least I'm honest.
We'll clear that up for you, Simon. We're going to go on IMDb.
I'm going to go on Wikipedia
now. I'm going to throw a fit, and I know you got a bunch of interviews to do because this movie is going to be humongous.
So excited.
Okay, Simon Pegg.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very happy with it. We had a big bar to reach, you know, after Ghost Protocol, which was such a big success and was such a great movie. But Chris McQuarrie has pulled it out of the bag. It's something cool, I think.
And look for Simon spinning around in that car with Tom Cruise. That's him.
Flipping off the camera.
That's him.
Right. Any last words you want to say before you leave our show, Simon?
Just thanks, everybody. And, you know, I feel like I'm going to die now you said that.
Oh, yeah. No,
I was hoping you would go, I'm 5'10 and a half.
Yeah, we're going to make that trend. We're going to make that trend. Hashtag, everybody, Simon Pegg is 5'10 and a half.
Thank you.
Got it.
We got your back, Simon Pegg. Everybody give it up for Simon Pegg. And make sure you watch Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye, Simon.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
So there's this story floating around.
Yeah.
It involves a mailman and a little boy.
Okay.
And the way the story unravels after the mailman asks the little boy a question is just it's a very touching story.
Yeah.
It's a really cute story.
Good story.
We're going to tell you about it.
With everything going around now, I didn't know where you were going with that.
Oh, man, it's one of those where your stomach just goes like, oh, poor little guy.
We need feel-good stories.
Yeah, we do need some feel-good stories. And you know what else we need, Kelly Raspberry? A new dating app. We got one that you will probably like.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I had such great luck with Tinder, I thought I'd go try that again.
This will help you even more, I think. We're gonna be talking about that pretty shortly.
Is it cougarific?
No, Al.
Cougar compatible?
No.
No, but let me just say, I'm not at a dating app.
Uh-huh.
This is 100% a dating app.
Yeah.
I will download.
See?
Wow. Cool.
Elena, the selfie queen, and Jenna Owens are all about it. And we also have Does That Make Me Crazy coming up. So is you crazy? We want you to call us up and let us know what you do that has people looking at you like, what is that person doing? But let's get to The Grapes of Destiny. By the way, the series finale is tomorrow. Everything.
It's over tomorrow.
Everything will make sense tomorrow. You know, everything. All the loose ends will be tied.
Okay.
Let's go through the roster for today's episode.
All right.
Bitsy will be played by Jenna Owens, the daughter of Destiny.
Hey.
Destiny, of course, is played by Kelly Raspberry.
Hello.
Making another appearance, Foxy is Lacey from production.
Good morning.
Hey. Way in the distance. Yep. Paige Austin, the reporter, will be played by Elena Davies.
Hello.
So don't call right now. She won't be able to answer the phone. Brock Kensington Smith will be played by Big Al Mack.
Hi there. How are you?
Smiling Joe will be played by Big Al Mack.
Hey, how are you?
By the way, Big Al's been very nervous about playing two roles today.
Two roles in one episode.
Get out of the way. Two chains?
You can do it.
Two
roles? If you're already confused, just wait.
Old listeners will appreciate this. Kelly did this back in, was it Rude Awakenings, Kelly?
Yeah, well, one of them.
Yeah. And a kid wrote this book, and
Kelly
would be going back and forth with different characters, but she nailed it.
He put me on a plane one time where I was every character on the plane, and they were all from different parts of the world.
That was the best. That was the best.
So we'll see how Big Al Mac does.
Not good.
Today. Gary / Lorenzo. It's / because Lorenzo had a brain transplanted into another body after he was shot by Bitsy.
Yeah.
That will be played by me, JC.
All right.
Are we ready to go, narrator?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's Nick the voice guy.
Yep. Hey, guys.
Let's go.
Welcome to the place where dreams are nurtured, then crushed, like grapes. The Grapes of Destiny.
Yesterday, we met Destiny's first, third, and fifth husband, Brock, who's also Bitsy's father. And Destiny is hatching a plan to take her winery back from Smilin' Joe. In today's episode, Destiny confronts Smilin' Joe, and Lorenzo meets his children.
Hello, Joe. Surprised to see me?
Well, not really, Destiny. I mean, I do follow you on Facebook, and your last post said, off to confront Joe and get back my winery.
I've got to check my privacy settings.
You're wasting your time, Destiny.
Oh, you underestimate me, Joe. Just because I was in a coma for 8 months doesn't mean I lost 1 ounce of my intelligence, my business savvy, or my ability to accessorize. I'm taking back the grapes of destiny, Joe, just as soon as I catch up on The Bachelor.
Don't bother, girl.
Well, I heard it wasn't the best season, but you know.
I mean, don't bother with the company. It's dead, Destiny. Dead as poor green Lorenzo.
You mean?
We broke.
But what happened?
Destiny, I'm a visionary. That's what happened. I could see that we needed to branch out.
You didn't.
I did.
You opened a bar?
Not just any bar, a bar and grill, serving the world's only fusion of Norwegian and Mexican cuisine. But I guess the girl just wasn't ready for...
The world.
Oh, but I guess the world just wasn't ready for... Lutefisk fajitas.
Close enough. Right. You lost everything?
Yep. All that work I did to steal your money, tricking Lorenzo into marrying my niece, getting Bitsy to bring that gun into the board meeting, taking her hand and shooting you myself when she chickened out and couldn't pull the trigger, all that work is gone. Like tears in a fjord. Ironic, isn't it? Is it fjord?
Oh, my God. No, that is not irony.
Why, is there a news reporter hiding behind the curtains, Destiny?
I brought her Joe, and thank you so much for confessing in front of her and her tape recorder.
It's a digital recorder.
What?
They don't even make tape recorders anymore. What are you, like 40? Oh,
thank you. Do you want this story or not?
Y'all obviously have something you need to sort out, so I'll just excuse myself. Oh, not so fast, Joe.
Take him down, Brock. Take him down like one of your moose.
How many people are hiding behind those curtains, Destiny?
Just one more.
I should have put in mini blinds. You're coming with me, Joe. We're going to the police station right now, and you're going to confess to shooting Destiny.
Poisoning the wine was his idea, too. Or is what I might say if I remembered anything, which I don't. Where are we? What year is this?
I might as well just surrender. I lost my company. I lost all my money. Maybe it's time for a fresh start in prison. Maybe I'll run into my brother.
Oh. The sound of Brock calling Joe away. Yeah. In case you don't recognize that sound.
It was not distinguishing
well,
voices.
Thank goodness.
You're hauling me away!
No, you're hauling... Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness that's over with. We may not have any money, Bitsy, but at least we have each other.
I'd rather have the money.
Me too, baby. Me too.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the vineyard, Gary, the male nurse with Lorenzo's brain, encounters Foxy and her twins.
Excuse me, miss. I couldn't help but to notice your adorable twins. Their father must have been very, 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 very handsome.
Yeah, I sure wish he was still around.
Maybe he is.
No, he's definitely dead. I poked him in the casket.
Ooh, well, that. What are you going to do now that the winery is bankrupt?
I don't know. I guess I could go back to performing surgery on the street for tips.
Maybe I could help you.
Why would you help me? I'm a complete stranger to you.
I'm just that kind of guy, you know?
I guess having to go through life with those enormous teeth would make you compassionate to the suffering of others. But you don't know me. I've done terrible things. I threw a woman out of a window once.
So, Bitsy deserved it.
I've got to get my head straight.
Wait, where are you going?
To go tell my babies that I love them.
Foxy! Foxy, come back! I don't know how to breastfeed!
Where has Foxy gone? Can Destiny rebuild her empire? Will Gary ever get those braces? For the answers to these and other questions, tune in next time to The Grapes of Destiny.
Why y'all got one brother?
Twists and turns.
Man.
One brother in the doggone soap opera, and he's going to jail. Smiling Joe.
How you know Smiling Joe's a brother?
Is Brock not a brother?
No, Brock's a white dude.
Brock's white.
For sure?
You couldn't tell?
That's my white voice.
Please give it to us again now.
Hey, my name's Brock. It's my ex-wife, Destiny. And we're going to head up to the Cape.
Why is Urkel your go-to white guy voice?
That's been my white guy voice for years. Better recognize. All right.
Pretty good, Al.
Barbara Thomas. Way to go.
Let's see what Barbara Thomas has in store for us in the series finale tomorrow.
Barbara is
Thomas
this series is finale or just season?
This is it. Go ahead and say that.
Okay.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Right before the break, we teased that there's a new dating app that we know Kelly Raspberry will love. And so we started getting the messages. Wait, what happened?
Kelly, get ready to pull this up right now.
What's going on in Kelly's life?
I know people can't listen 24/7.
Yeah.
But she's single.
Fill us in, Kelly. Half the time, and I'm here.
Kelly celebrated her 1 week single anniversary yesterday.
Yes.
Yep. No more Bill.
And it was amicable, right? It was just.
Sure.
Thanks. Things run their course and
ran its course quickly.
You just got to move on sometimes.
Yeah, and I learned a lot from a friend of mine who had gone to therapy for some anger issues in a marriage.
Uh-huh.
And this is not what I'm saying happened to me, but like one spouse cheated on the other and was caught red-handed.
Right.
I mean, you can't lie your way out of that.
No.
But the woman who was cheated upon, it was the husband caught cheating. I don't think y'all know who I'm talking about. Anyway, she said, no, I want to stay and make the marriage work. I want to save the marriage. But then she punished him every single day, made his life miserable.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're going to stay, you can't keep doing that. So they went to therapy, and the counselor gave her this advice. Be angry, be miserable, wallow in it, get stinky, dirty, depressed. But you have to set a time limit for that, or else this is never going to work.
Right.
And apparently that fell on deaf ears because they're now divorced. She couldn't let it go. And I was like, that's the best piece of advice. So I allowed myself 1 week.
You applied it to the breakup.
Kelly. 1 week was enough for me because, Jenna, I'm a lot older than you.
I know, that's impressive.
And I don't have as much time as you.
I don't have much time.
I just don't. I got a good decade or so on you. A decade plus. So when you get older, it's like, dude, okay, that didn't work out. I was miserable. I skipped a few shampoos, drank at home alone maybe a little bit. I'm done. What good does it do me to wallow in it?
It doesn't.
Exactly.
Not any at all.
So that's it. I'm good.
So you bet. So she's
out
there,
fellas. I gave myself my 1 week dump-iversary.
Yeah. What were you, dirty depressed?
I was dirty depressed.
Dirty depressed. No shower.
But no more now.
Depressed for a week. And then look, Kelly's blam.
Good. I've taken a shower. I even shaved my legs and I didn't have to.
You don't even need to. Well, maybe you do because I saw the Black and White Night yesterday.
Oh, Kelly, it's maybe. That was.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that weird? Isn't it weird that I was like, oh, and Kelly's single?
Here's the thing. I've thrown myself at that man enough. He ain't interested.
But why would he appear in my life?
I know, right? Maybe we're meant to be and
Kelly,
he just hasn't accepted
at least
it yet.
Let's get us like a VIP ride around at medieval times, at least use it for a fun little afternoon.
Right on.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
He's like a knight even in regular clothes. It's weird.
I think they'll let you go down there and like play with the hawk that flies around.
No, you can't touch the hawk.
Hashtag play
you
with the hawk.
Yeah.
The hawk.
So no, you can't. Believe me, I've tried.
Okay, I don't want to hear about that. I want to know about the dating app.
Yeah, so there's a new dating app that Jenna and Elena are all about right now.
Yes. All about it.
Listen to this, Kelly.
All about it.
I already signed up. I've been swiping already this morning.
I have to go to the iTunes store?
Yeah, head on over there right now.
Elena, who's answering the phones right now? If you're in here.
Oh, just no one.
Okay.
I love our producer, White Jenner.
He just runs in there.
He gave us a thumbs up.
Okay,
so
we're good. Okay, so what's up with this dating app?
I think we both found out about it at the same time.
Someone tweeted us.
Somebody tweeted us.
And was
did they
like,
tweet
you
me?
Guys
I didn't see it.
No, it was just the two of us. And probably, because Elena's really into
they
all the
They didn't know you're
apps.
Single, Kelly.
Elena's into all the apps, and they know that this is also just a passion of mine, what it revolves around. And it's called
Ten Dog.
Oh, I don't know.
Hold on. Did you guys practice that?
No.
Is it T-I-N or T-E-N?
That's right here.
Well, I think we both we were feeling it.
Tender, T-I-N, just like in...
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's why we paused.
And second, Kelly, what'd you say?
I'm not doing it.
No.
I love my dog. I do love my dog, but not like that.
Well, I'll tell you what it's about, and Elena has it in front of her because she's already made a profile, so she can get into more detail. But TinDog is just like Tinder, the app set up the same way. Suggests profiles of dogs and their owners in your area. If you like a profile, all you got to do is swipe right to save it. Feelings mutual.
Can I lick right?
A chat window will open.
Yes.
Save that.
And they just say, you know, that dogs are, this is a great chance for people to connect on like a passion, because if someone's a dog owner, you probably love dogs. Most people that own dogs love dogs.
You can bet on that one, probably.
Yeah, but except I'm looking at Elena's because she's actually went ahead and made the profile. Unfortunately, this is bad timing for me.
Yeah, you know, I know. You just have one problem with that.
Yeah,
but...
that my dog's dead, but I am. So
we need to get her a new dog. Or
I can just find someone with a dog. I don't know why they wouldn't let me on there.
You can borrow some dog photos if you want, or if you want to take Lily out on a date.
I have so many great photos of Max and I that maybe I'll post that, and then the first date would be kind of awkward because I'd be like, oh, he died.
Where's your dog?
Like, he actually just died.
Yeah, but Elena has the profile.
But it's pretty cool. So you set up a profile for your dog. You can upload, you can connect through Facebook or without Facebook. So that's a plus. Some people, that's their main complaint about like these other dating apps.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And you can upload photos of your dog. I mean, I want people to know Lily has friends, you know? So I put up there, you know, with a friend. And
isn't it creepy if somebody just swipes right based on the dog picture?
Selfie with some winking. You know, these things are...
But it's a huge deal because I've told you guys in the past, dogs, a guy with a dog, I love. But there's certain dogs to me that are deal breakers.
Like what? What dog wouldn't you date? I mean, like a guy that owns,
date? Well, I told you about the horse dog at the dog park. The guy was so hot, but his dog looked kind of like Al's dog in the sense of it had like a golden doodle look to it. But it wasn't a golden doodle, though. It was bright, fiery red and the size of a horse.
Like you could
a
ride
small
it.
Horse, not a miniature horse, like a small real horse. And I'm like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't. The dog's a huge turnoff, and he was hot.
Kelly, I like small dogs.
You like small dogs?
No, later.
You wouldn't date a guy with a big dog?
You can be swiping left on these bigger dogs. Like, I'm not interested.
Yeah. No, I like labs, but this was a horse.
But this is so cool because, you know, it's kind of like an icebreaker thing, too.
100%.
When you go on a date, you can be like, hey, I'll meet you at the dog park, and it's a little bit more casual and... You know, less pressure environment, maybe.
And you have your dogs
already
with
have
you.
Something in common, and
it's
dogs
an
are
easy
playing.
Easy first date,
yeah,
for sure.
Going out with the dogs is an easy first date. It's kind of great.
Now, Elena, will your dog only swipe right on black dogs?
Touche. I'm gonna actually have one right here and swipe right.
Well played, sir.
Thank you.
My only issue is that it seems to be a lot of the profiles as we're swiping through are just the dog.
Of course.
Yeah, add a photo.
Ten dogs.
I want the owner and dog in the photo because I want your dog to be cool, but I want to know what you look like.
Some people just don't even put their photo at all. There's an option to have your photo up there with it, and some people
just want to see the dog first.
Yeah,
I wouldn't swipe on that.
No.
So
implies you ugly.
Kelly, are you gonna join or what?
No, I mean, I love my dog, but I'm not an obsessive dog person, so no, that's not for me.
Well, we're here to break the news to you that Elena,
you already signed me up.
I don't know what happened. I mean, I just got excited and just went with it.
You gave up on my Tinder that quickly?
Well, which picture did you use?
All of them. I had to go creeping hard, too. Luckily for you, I can just Google Kelly Raspberry and
George.
And dogs.
And George.
I find two or three pictures of George, but nothing obsessive, right?
Oh, no, it's fine.
I got to use the one from the coffee table book. The legit
Yeah, the black and white one. That's cute. Yeah.
So
see, she's already getting into it a little bit.
No, I'm really not.
And you might have some doggy dates.
See, I don't want to go out with somebody that's obsessed with their dog either.
Not obsessed. It's just something you have in common. Yeah,
just a common ground.
If they're obsessed with their dog, does that make them crazy?
Oh, good seg, though, young man.
Major market right there, Al.
You're getting good at this whole DJ thing.
Major market right there.
Yeah.
Our phone number is 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
Does that make me crazy? That's those things you do that you think are pretty normal because you've always done them. But your friends always look at you like, yo, man, that's not normal for everybody to do. Like, I'll tell you one that I have with my wife.
Okay.
My wife and I have Biore competitions.
You have what?
That's gross.
Biore.
I know what you're going to say.
The blackhead strip?
That is so gross.
We compete to see who has the best Biore strip.
That means who has the dirtiest pores.
I win every time.
Of course.
Ugh.
Those
strips are gross.
I'm 22 and 0. It looks like pines, like
If your blackheads are that bad.
Well, sometimes. Not every time. I view those as wins. Does that make me crazy?
Yes, that makes you get both of y'all crazy.
All right.
Nut in a fruitcake.
Does that make me crazy? We'll take your calls and maybe put you in the Does That Make Me Crazy Hall of Fame next.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
It's time for Does That Make Me Crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Long-running bit on our show. We've turned it into Does That Make My Husband Crazy? Does That Make My Kid Crazy?
Yeah.
But the original is Does That Make Me Crazy?
Does That Make Me Crazy?
Explain the bit, Big Al Mac.
Well, basically, we all have these little things that we do. For example, I will drive to a fast food restaurant,
yes,
get in the line, change my mind, drive to another one, get in the line, change my mind, get in another line, change my mind,
and then
go back home because I can't make up my mind. Does that make me crazy?
These
are things that you do that you say, is this normal? I don't think so. Does that make me crazy? So you're asking yourself. So
right.
We're asking you to call us and let us judge if you're crazy or not.
Your girlfriend should look deep into that thing you do.
I do that.
Make up your mind.
Right,
man.
Right.
I just, before the break, I told you guys that my wife and I have Biore competitions.
That's
Biore
weird.
Battles. Ew.
That's
so
weird.
Gross. Blackhead, blackhead nose strip.
They feel so good. Have you tried them?
Yeah, when I was like 13.
Oh. Not as adults?
And then it grossed me out.
Jenna, do you have one?
I do.
Okay.
Mine is going to go along with some audio.
Okay.
I don't know. When I have these days, and Kelly and I were just talking about it off air, when people will tweet and be really mean, I kind of shut down, and so I don't respond, and I don't get involved, but it does affect me. So when I want to start feeling good about myself again, I've found that I go to one thing and one thing only that I've done on this show in the past.
Yeah.
And I watch it and listen to it a few times, and it puts me in a better mood.
Right.
Because I'm proud of it. And lately, this is what I've been watching and listening to a lot.
Because I got a fever. I've been locked out the bathroom for too long.
You were feeling it.
For too long. I got a fever.
This is the parody song I did for Bruno Mars in our Idol karaoke challenge.
So you watch this when you're feeling down.
Yeah, when I get feeling really down.
Yeah.
Just because I was so into it. And you guys were so complimentary of me, it made me feel like I did a really good job.
It was good.
So I will go watch it 2 or 3 times, and I'm like, you know what? That was funny. I did a good job. And then I feel better.
Do you, Jenna?
But that's the only thing I go back and watch.
That makes you good.
I've been here 20 years. I don't think I have one go-to album.
I don't know what it is. I think I love the song. Does that make me crazy?
20 years and I don't have one that I would go back and listen to make me feel better.
I watch stuff, but it's not stuff of me. I watch dogs trying to hump stuff
because I find videos, it funny. But sometimes I get on a tear. I watch your guys' videos. I posted something JC made for me the other day.
What's your favorite one of mine?
What's your favorite Kelly one?
Honestly, I like the ones where Kelly and I got in fights.
Okay, good.
You know, there's one that she cracked me up so much. I watched the one where she was cracking up on Dish Nation when I was dressed like the Amish person.
Oh, that's so funny.
Just you're turning butter.
By coincidence. And I watched one where she talked about my muffin top for a few minutes.
What's your favorite Big Al one?
Oh, let's go to the phone. 800-543-3548. Does that make me crazy?
Yeah. Let's go to the phone.
Who's on this telephone?
Lori's going to kick us off with Does That Make Me Crazy. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I cannot swallow pills if anyone is looking at me, including myself. If I'm in front of the mirror, I have to turn my back on the mirror or leave the room.
Well, why, do you think?
I don't have any idea, but my friends all know that if, like, we're out and I have a headache and somebody gives me aspirin, that everybody has to either turn away or I have to leave to go take them.
That's weird.
Yeah,
I think that qualifies as crazy.
I go crazy on that one, Al.
I'm going to go ahead. We're Kelly, off to a good start.
It's strange.
You don't like people watching you swallow.
Why?
Pills.
Yeah, is it the whole...
It's not that I don't like it. I choke and I'll have to spit them out.
It's performance anxiety almost.
That's what it is.
I guess.
Yeah, that's cute crazy.
That's weird. That's so odd.
Yeah, that's weird.
A new one. We don't really know about new ones.
I've never met anybody like that, Lori. Congratulations. You're crazy.
You're
one of a kind.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Look, everybody wants to be crazy.
Everybody wants to be crazy.
That's the point. We're all a little crazy. Let's go with the youngins. What's going on, Gage?
Not much. Does it make me crazy that whenever I see old people, I get really sad? Does that make me crazy?
What was the last part of what you said, dog?
It's really sad when he sees old people.
Why, Gage?
Because I feel like they don't have that much longer to live.
All right, now the next question I have for you, Gage. How old are you?
How old are you, dog?
I'm 10.
10 years old. What do you? When do you start feeling sad? What age for people?
70 or 80.
Okay. Oh, 70 or 80. Okay,
don't
that's
feel
good.
Bad for us yet.
Thank God.
All right. Oh, Gage, that is so quirky and a little bit crazy, and I love it.
I do too. That's very sweet.
Yeah. Hey,
are your grandparents around, dog?
Yeah. Okay. But I lost my great.
Aw.
Okay.
Gage.
Just hug them.
You're the heart of gold, crazy buddy.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Just hug them.
I like Gage.
That's cute.
See, that was another one. We haven't had that one before.
That's cute, though. Yeah.
I like
it's
Gage.
Adorable.
Jonna.
Hi.
We're doing Does That Make Me Crazy? Go ahead with yours.
I have a one-eyed pug named Jack, and I call his missing eye his no eye. And every morning and every night, I like to sit with him, and I massage it and talk baby talk to his no eye. Does that make me crazy?
Hell yeah!
You need to give us an example. How do you talk to the one eye?
She's massaging the hole, JC.
Yeah, I'll just massage him. I'm like,
save that.
No eye, Jack. Does this feel good? And he just sticks his tongue out and wags his little tail and just rubs his little no eye.
Wait, Jonna, send me a photo. This is a pug?
Oh, it is a pug. I will send you a photo.
Please.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a closed up eye, though, right? Because I bet the massage feels good.
Oh, it is closed up. And I think it does feel good because he gets really into it and it's a soft spot. So,
right.
I mean, he likes it.
Yeah, he would run in pain if he didn't.
Yeah, send us a video of you massaging the eye hole.
Oh, my gosh, Jonathan. You're a little soulmate for me right now.
You're crazy, Jonathan. By the way, hashtag eye hole.
Hashtag crazy little white girl.
How
do you know Jonna is white girl?
One eye pug.
Jonna, are you white girl?
I totally am.
Okay.
Yes. Of course she is.
I called it. Okay, my bad, Al. I will never doubt you again.
Ain't no sister going to be doing it.
let's go with Dolores.
Are you masking?
What's going on, Dolores?
Oh no, JC. Shout out Kelly and Jenna.
That's right. Yeah. White girl.
White
shout
girl.
Out.
Oh, a white girl, Dolores. Okay.
Don't say it like that. She doesn't say her name like that, I bet. It's just Dolores.
Tommy Jean's big sister's name is Dolores.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Dolores.
Jerry Seinfeld.
All right. So whenever I see like a gardener or like somebody trimming plants or trees or leaves or something like that, I imagine in my head that the tree or the plant is like screaming and writhing in pain. And I just want to, like, I feel so bad for it. Yeah. I feel so bad.
You feel like they're living beings. Yeah. They have feelings.
How are the trees and plants screaming in your head, Dolores?
They're like, no, don't cut me. You're doing it all. Oh, it hurts. And everybody assures me that they're just getting a haircut. But in my head, I'm like, no, you're cutting their body.
The branch is the body. It's like cutting a finger.
Yeah. It is weird. They are living things.
The crazy meter is off the chain today.
Do you think that makes me crazy?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Maybe not, because plants can't speak for themselves. Maybe they are suffering.
They don't have a brain.
According to Dolores, they can.
Yeah.
I'm saying nobody can speak for a tree. Maybe it is wounded.
Dolores is speaking for the tree. Yeah, you're crazy, Dolores.
I think you're crazy.
Yeah,
Dolores.
You're crazy.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
okay,
have a wonderful day, though.
Have a great Thursday.
Yeah, see?
Shout out to Dolores.
Shout out.
She, in fact, is.
Oh, you Mexican?
Not.
No, she's not.
She's not.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Elena in the phone screening room, can you please call my wife? Because she messed up yesterday.
What happened?
I'll tell you in a minute after we get her on the phone.
Your wife messed up?
Yeah.
She has rattle off a couple of her previous
She gets
messes.
She claims pregnancy brain quite a bit. There's been times where we had trips planned and she didn't click finish on the purchase. It's happened with pizzas as well. But this is it's not one of those. This is one of those where I'm the one that came out the loser on this one. But I'll tell you in a second. But I want to tell you about the story of the mailman and the little boy.
Yeah. You mentioned that earlier.
So, you know, when you're a mailman, you tend to do the same route for years. And, and you get to see the same people over and over again. And a lot of the times you become friends with these people because, I mean, you see somebody every day. You might as well ask them questions.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, if you have a mailman that you see, you need to be friends with them.
Yeah. And leave them something for Christmas,
for sure,
too, you know, because they work so hard, especially in the summertime when it's so hot. They're just walking around.
Mm.
The mailman's name is Ron Lynch.
Okay.
And he delivers to this apartment complex. And he always sees this little boy sitting on the steps reading.
Okay.
And the little boy's reading advertisements, and he's just looking at them.
About what age is the boy? Do you have
he's 12 years old, okay. I believe.
Matthew Flores.
Yeah, Matthew Flores. The little boy's name is Matthew Flores, and he's always just sitting there on the steps reading. And one day, Matthew came up to Mr. Lynch and said, "Hey, do you have any extra junk mail I can have?"
Wow.
That's an odd question. A lot of people, many people would just say, "Okay, here you go.
Can have mine.
I
enjoy
hate
it.
Junk
here you go. I hate junk mail. Here you go, little boy.
Send me stuff, and they still send it."
Yeah, they probably think, "What are you going to make, paper airplanes? I don't know what you're going to make. Oh, here you go. Here's paper." So Mr. Lynch decided, "No, that's okay. Why do you want my extra junk mail, Matthew?" And he goes, "Because I already read all the junk mail I have, and I like reading, and I just want to continue reading."
Hmm.
When I read that,
he said he couldn't afford books to read.
Yeah, and he goes, "Why don't?" Yeah, so Mr. Lynch goes, "Why don't you read a book?" And he goes, "We don't have money for books." And he goes, "Well, you can go to the library.
Library's free.
The library has free books. They have tons of books at the library for you." And he goes, "Well, we don't really have a car right now, and my mom can't afford to drive me
and the library's too far. So
it's too far.
He wants junk mail to read.
So he just wants something to read, and he figures junk mail's the best thing to read.
Oh my gosh."
This made my stomach just feel like, oh, that is awful. This little boy's not playing video games. He's not outside doing the wrong thing. He's trying to read.
Yeah. He's trying to read junk mail.
It's heartbreaking.
Are you kidding? I mean, that is like heartbreaking.
So sad. And so Mr. Ron Lynch goes home that night, and he goes on Facebook.
Don't add sad music. It'll make me more upset.
And he goes on Facebook, and he tells the story of little Matthew Flores. And he goes, "If anybody has any extra books, please send them to me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, one, whatever. So people start sharing the story, and it starts going semi-viral, and people start sending books. He got about 50 to 60 books.
Wow.
Now, he thought it might bring in 50 to 60.
Oh, yeah, he thought it might be 50 to 60 until a local news outlet picked it up. And then it just started pouring in from other countries like the UK, Australia, just books and books and books.
Oh,
hundreds, Jenna.
Hundreds. And they're still coming. It's like it sort of becomes problematic.
It does.
Right,
when it goes viral, the generosity is too much.
Because that's the thing, is people start, everybody wants to get in on it, and now the kid's like, "I have too many books. I have nowhere to put all these books."
Yeah, there's an update picture of Matthew Flores in his house, and he has this pretty tall bookshelf with some of the books, and now he has books.
That is
great. All it took was asking why. That's all it took.
Yeah,
just continue the conversation. Why? And then he changed this little boy's life.
Can I still send him junk mail, like all the stuff that's in my mailbox yesterday?
No, not the junk mail, but if you do want to send books, there is an address.
Don't.
What?
They've got enough books. You know what you could do is you could look in your own community. This kid has been richly
inundated,
blessed.
Yes.
This kid has gotten books. He's gotten hundreds, possibly thousands of books at this point. So turn to your own community.
Right.
I mean, that's great.
School.
You want to help.
Yeah.
There are other children in your community that need a book.
That's what we need to take away from it. It's like not to inundate this same child.
Share the wealth.
Recognize that this situation probably exists
situation
down the street.
This situation is fine now.
But how cool of
it's
that mailman,
cool,
Mr. Lynch and Matthew. Matthew that he wants to read.
There are book
him.
Drives all the time, especially now we're going to back to school. You can channel that injury to kids that channel that energy. To kids that need school supplies, backpacks, little things like that. This child has been blessed a million times.
He'll have plenty of books to read until he's probably in his 80s.
And it should inspire you to help others.
I may send little 12-year-old Matthew my copy of The Mac Within.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Send one more book to Matthew, and then we're done.
A Mac must sometimes take his game on the road.
All right, and now I told you that my wife messed up last night.
What'd she do?
Really unfair when she's not here to defend herself.
She is. I had Elena call her. She's on the line right now.
Oh, great.
Hey, baby.
I messed up?
Yeah, you did mess up.
Hey, baby.
You haven't even told her about it yet?
No, she knows she messed up because we're laying in bed last night. I'm about to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all clean and everything, feeling good about myself.
Oh, you know what that means.
And
I want some.
And so she is sitting there in bed on her phone because she's getting ready to go on this bachelorette party.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, she just starts laughing. And she goes, "Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Why were you so sorry, Kinsey?"
Well, I'm going on a bachelorette party to Santa Barbara this weekend, and we're all wearing white, including the bride. And because it'll make for some really cute pictures. And I had two different outfits that I bought, and I couldn't decide which one I wanted. So I sent it to the group of girls to see which ones they thought I should keep and which one I should return. And they started texting me, "Oh, my God, Kinsey, oh, my God. Look at Jose. Look at Jose.
he was naked in the background. In the bathroom.
There I am, minding my own business, brushing my teeth.
We all told you, put your clothes on.
You need to put clothes on.
Everybody
just
in
naked
this
all her friends.
And now you're getting burned. I told you to put clothes on.
I could be naked in my house.
No.
That's hilarious, Kenzie.
You got two little kids running around the house.
They're sleeping. They're sleeping. I just got out of the shower. I'm brushing my teeth, and there I am. And it's not even a flattering naked picture. It's like you're just like just brushing your teeth all humpback. And
out of the 24 hours
in
the day.
You weren't sucking in, man?
No.
Out of the 24 hours in the day, I'm probably naked about 3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, that's you. I don't have an issue that he's naked in his
own home. Myself.
You know, I don't have an issue, but it just
seems
like...
Kenzie blames it on her eyes because she says her eyes are going bad.
It's true.
How did you not notice I was naked in the back? Big old butt in the back.
No, you ain't got no big old butt.
I was just looking at my outfit, not you.
That's the issue here. Kenzie needs glasses, JC. She does. We were out the other night, and I'm trying to show her stuff on Instagram, and she's turning into, like, real mom style, trying to zoom in. She's like, Jenna, I can't see it. She's like, Jenna, I can't see it. She couldn't read the menu. She put on owl's glasses. They didn't work.
Can you have your friends delete that picture, please?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, right.
They honor system.
It in the album of the bachelorette party.
Yes.
No. Can I retake it?
No, you know what, Kenzie?
Hey, Kenzie,
my
friend John just texted and wants you to send him that picture.
No, you're not going to send it to John. No, John.
Yeah,
Kenzie,
send it to
John. Kenzie, the glasses I borrowed. Actually, John's glasses.
Oh, that's right. Kenzie, text it to me, and I'll use the Nudifier app so we can blur out the nude parts, and then that way we can post it online.
No, it's not a flattering picture.
No, I'll nudify it.
I
got toothpaste all over me.
I'll make it a big blur.
How many girls are going to Santa Barbara?
Jay Schlong's hanging out. What?
Seven.
You can't.
Girls going to Santa Barbara for Bachelorette? What? That's a whole other story for a whole other time.
So there I am out in the interwebs, naked.
You got to jump
out. That's what 30-year-olds do for bachelorette parties now. Wine tasting.
Yeah.
You have a wine tasting at a restaurant down the street. You have to go to Santa Barbara.
Because they live in California.
Yeah, oh, you're traveling.
Yeah,
oh, I thought it was a group of people.
No, it's
here
in California.
Oh, okay. All right,
babe.
All right.
Well.
Okay.
All right. I'm just telling you, there's going to be a...
What?
You know. I might,
Jenna,
I might get you back. I might get you back.
Yeah. Oh, do you want that?
Send it now.
Send it now, and I'll do that.
No, do not send it, Kenzie.
I'm going to do the Nudifier app.
Do not.
Then everyone can see it.
Do not. Send it to me too.
I want
to
see it.
I want to tweet it.
Send it to me.
Do not send the picture, Kenzie.
Send me the link to the bridesmaids' photos.
Do not send the picture, please.
Yeah, add me to the photo share.
Do not, Kenzie.
Okay.
I won't do anything with it, but Nudify it.
Kenzie, don't send the picture.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you at least cover my things?
That's what I'm going to do, man.
I don't want you to cover my things, Jenna. I don't want to.
Gosh, you're like my brother.
I don't have that app. I don't have room on my phone.
Yeah, just send it to me. I'm going to put it on Instagram.
No, nobody's getting a picture. Kenzie, I'll get it and I'll edit it. I'm going to put peaches on there.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.